Thank you so much. What a powerful question. Do they see Jesus in me? And so many times the answer has to be no, because of the way we behave. And so may we make the answer yes as we live for the Lord this week. Sometimes people say, why in the world do you have to come to church every week? Well, if you're meaning why do you have to because you're going to get excommunicated or something, that's not in the realm of the cards, so to speak. But why should they want to come every week? Because it reminds us to get closer to the Lord. The church gives fellowship, but the church also gives urging, and the church gives nudging for us to walk with the Lord and us to spend time with Him, and reminds us of questions like that. Do they see Jesus in me? And I trust that we'll live our lives this week so the answer might be yes, because too many times, as I've already said, my answer would be no, because in some situations I didn't show the Lord very much. But thank you for that reminder, Miss Victoria. As I mentioned already, we are on the radio, and I give this note to everybody. Our invite cards look like this. They're out somewhere in the lobby. On the back, it's got different ways that our services are live streamed. Now, all of our services are live streamed, but this one in particular is also broadcast live on the radio, and it's listed down here. I'd like to challenge everyone to take some of these wherever they are out in the different places in the lobby and invite somebody this week. Because a lot of times, you know, you'll talk to somebody and say, oh, well, I can't, or I work, or I do this. And what we've been able to do since Becky designed these cards is to just tell people, so here's several ways that you can, at your convenience, watch our archive services, or you can listen to one broadcast live at 11, even if you're working, if your workplace allows that. And so I just challenge you to get those out and invite somebody this week to come to church, either in person or some other way. And I want to challenge each of you tonight, especially if your parents or grandparents, you're affecting young people in some way or older folks, I'd like to give you some biblical help tonight to leaders, be that parent, grandparent, or anybody else that, of course, would be helpful to them, helpful to you, but just some practical advice from the scriptures of how we ought to behave, because we want the ones coming behind us to not only not embarrass us. Sometimes I think that's really the main goal of parents, just don't embarrass me. But we want them to do so much more than that. We want them to grow and thrive and love the Lord and live for Him. And I think that there's some real big reasons why we don't see that. And I hope that you'll come join us tonight and be here. And then on Wednesday night, this Wednesday, I've got to be in West Virginia at a funeral, and I won't be back. I can't make it back in time because of the time that the funeral is later in the day. And so Brother Jordan Smith is going to preach in here for us. And so I want you to come, unless you're involved in discipleship, or you're somewhere with the Pastor Pirate Clubs, or in the youth, if you're somewhere there, fine. But otherwise, please come and support Brother Jordan as he preaches. I'm going to trust that the Lord will give him the message for the hour. I'm praying for him that God would use him in the 7 o'clock service right here in the auditorium. So those things just as an announcement, so you'll be aware of what's going on. Now we'll get down to preaching. And again, it's a wonderful crowd. Thank you for being here. We had a good crowd in Sunday school. Larry, give me the numbers, and we're thankful for everybody who's in your Bible classes, kids Sunday school, wherever you were at. And then some joined us just for the 11 o'clock hour. We're just tickled to death that you're here. And I want us over these next 20 minutes or so just to see what the Lord would have for us from Matthew chapter 4. As you find your place there in Matthew chapter 4, I did hear this story about these fellows that were in this waiting room for their wives were back having babies, and they were all out in the waiting room like the old school. And so they were there in the waiting room, and the nurse came out to the first one, and she said, I've come to tell you, congratulations, you're going to have twins. They're here, one's here, the other's on his way. You got twins. And he said, oh, that's amazing. He said, I work for the Minnesota Twins, the ball team. That's amazing. And he said, well, okay, well, congratulations. And she turned to the next fellow she was supposed to give a lesson or to give a message to. And she said, well, congratulations. He has having twins, but you're having triplets. And doctor just came and informed us they're triplets. They're on their way. They're coming, and they're close to being here. He said, You're never going to believe this. He said, I work for the 3M company. We make scotch and we make tape and different things. I can't believe that. She went back in, came back out later and talked to the next fellow, the third guy, and said, we've got big news for you. Your wife has just delivered quadruplets. And he said, I know you're not going to believe this. But he said, I work for the big hotel, the Four Seasons downtown. He said, that's uncanny. Over in the other side of the waiting room, there's this guy. He's just got a distressed look on his face, and sweat is coming down his face. And now by the time he hears this news, he starts beating his head against the wall. He said, oh, sir, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And he says, no, you don't understand. She said, no, please don't hurt yourself. And he just keeps on pounding his head. And she said, listen, sir, I'm sorry, what's wrong? He said, you don't understand. I work for the 7-Up Corporation. So, things could be worse. Matthew chapter 4, I want to preach for a little while about this subject when Jesus shows up. There are some messages that I preach and I try to preach towards starting this, stopping that, get going in this, quit that, whatever. Others are designed kind of to make you trust the Lord more or look at Him through the situations. But today I just want us to think about our relationship with Christ. If you're saved in here today, you have got a treasure that cannot be housed in the richest of banks. If you're saved today, you have got a treasure that's beyond imagination, beyond comprehension, and certainly beyond description. There's always a difference when Jesus comes on the scene. My dad is a great testimony of that. He was a typical sailor that did all that sailors did out in California, and he met Jesus. As I mentioned last week, an old yellow bus came over from a serviceman center and picked up all those boys, those sailor boys that would come, and took him down to a serviceman center, and through the word of God and through the preaching and through the testimony of this couple that ran that serviceman center, he got born again, and he is somebody who's lived his life, as far as I can ever watched it, straight as an arrow, with no wine, women, and song. After he got saved, it was a total transformation from where he was, and now he's been on that path for the Lord. There's always a difference when Jesus shows up. I want you to look at verse number 16. We'll get down to our text in verse number 18 in just a moment, but I want you to see what the crowd was like. The Bible says here, in a reference to the Old Testament, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light it is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're going to look at verse number 18, which he's going to be calling his first disciples. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. A couple other verses there, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. There's so many more passages, or so many more instances, according to this passage, in the Scripture, or that aren't listed in the Scripture, where Jesus healed people. Because when news came abroad, just like you would do, if you heard of somebody who was healing people, then if you had a neighbor, or you had a friend, if you had a relative that had some illness or some sickness or some deformity, then you would get that person to Jesus. And the Scriptures indicate that he did that many more times than the specific instances are listed in the Scripture. But in verse number 12, he begins his earthly ministry. And by verse number 25, you've got great multitudes following him. And I want to work our way backwards through this passage and see what happens when Jesus came by. Father, bless us now as this is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to give us your touch now today. And I pray that you would lift up those that are downcast. I pray that you would encourage those that need it. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd show us the difference when Jesus shows up. And we'll thank you for it. In his name we pray. Amen. As we work our way back through from verse number 25 back to verse number 20, we see first of all in verse number 25 that when Jesus shows up, a crowd will gather, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from all from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Mark it down: when Jesus shows up in something that's going on, there will be a crowd that gathers. The Bible says in John chapter 12, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And as you read through the New Testament again and again, you see the crowds that are there. You see the people that come around Jesus. You say, yes, but those crowds left, and they did, but they continued to come. And we see even today, there's a crowd together at this old church that's been here for so long. And there's a crowd, I believe, and it's stayed through the test of time because continually we've spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. As Preacher Lastly has said so many times, just brag on Jesus. And my friend, there's a reason why his name brings a great crowd, and that is because he can and does work in the hearts of people. As you drive around this area, you'll see church after church. I was at a meeting last night, and I had to go out beyond everywhere else, and you wouldn't have found the church on accident, but you know there was a crowd that gathered there. We went for a little preacher's fellowship, and but there's a church that meets there. 70 people or so are probably gathered in that church today that you couldn't find without a little help. And the reason is because there's a preacher that will stand up there and he will brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, I'm trying to get us to see that wherever Jesus is mentioned, his name will do a great work. And as you drive around and you look at these churches, why are there so many? Well, most of them, not all, but most of them in our region, maybe a little off here, maybe a little off there, but most of them were started with pure motives to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And God raised something up out of nothing. And we see here in this passage that a crowd will gather. Jesus truly will draw a crowd. But I want you to see, secondly, not only will he draw a crowd, but miracles will be done. In verse number 23 and 24, we saw, as we already read, that he was preaching the gospel and he was healing all manners of sickness. In verse number 24, his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. And we see that not only will a crowd gather in verse 25, but as we come back a verse or two, we see great miracles were done. You know the story as well as I do, that one day he's out ministering and 5,000 men plus the women and children were there, and there wasn't a McDonald's in sight. Can you believe it? Couldn't find McDonald's, Burger King, or Arby's. And so they had to do the next best thing. Jesus told him to sit down. There was a lad there with a lunch, and we know the story well. Miracles have happened. You say, oh, preacher, I understand that miracles happened back then when Jesus was around, but miracles aren't happening now. I haven't seen anyone fed like that. I look around the crowd. Most of us are getting fed somewhere. You say, I haven't seen anybody fed like that. I understand. You say, well, I haven't seen any miracles like the New Testament said, but I would submit to you today that there are miracles happening everywhere, every day. I see it, stand here today to come to preach to you as a miracle, because before you ever knew me, I was on my way to a devil's hell, and Jesus saved my soul. The greatest miracle that's ever happened to you if you're saved is that you're not on the way, the path to hell like you used to be on. I'd take that hands down over a fish dinner from a boy's lunch. And the greatest miracle is happening today. And yes, I hear the news, and yes, I hear the wickedness going on, but I also hear the reports of churches that are lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus, where people are getting the chains broken from addiction, and people are getting marriages put back together because they're putting Jesus Christ first. My friend, we see that miracles will happen. Years ago, a story was told at the great Thomas Road Baptist Church back in the day. Jerry Falwell would thunder out the old time gospel hour in Liberty Baptist College back in that day, later Liberty University. A missionary, Helen Rosevere, gave testimony. And she was in Central Africa, a nurse. She was laboring hard to keep a mother that had a preemie baby that delivered. And then that little baby had a 2-year-old sister. As hard as they tried to work, the mom didn't make it. And so here they were with a 2-year-old and a little newborn, a preemie. And they worked and worked and worked to try to keep that baby warm. Even in Africa, it gets cold in that region with the winds in the evening. And so they tried to keep her warm. They stoke up the fire and had a nurse on duty to keep her warm. She had sent somebody to get one of those old-fashioned water bottles where you heat water and put it in there and keep that baby warm. No incubator, no electricity. But the nurse, that there was a nurse in training, such so to speak, came back and said that the water bottle had busted. The rubbery liner was dry rotted and it was useless. So they stoked the fire even more and tried to keep that baby warm that night. And they did. The next day that Helen was talking to the orphans. And you ever notice when you get talking to kids, sometimes you get yourself too far extended? Because she said, well, God can do anything. But she told them, the little baby and the 2-year-old, and she said, let's pray. They kind of went around, and this little girl, she piped up, Ruth was her name, and her American name, she would pray, and she prayed with Helen, and she said, Lord, send a, whatever she called it, that water bottle, that hot thing that could keep the water warm and keep that baby warm. And she prayed so earnestly, and she said, God, dear God, please send a dolly for that little, for her sister as well. And Helen didn't know how to pray at the end. She said, how can I say amen to that? She said, I haven't gotten a parcel in 4 months, a power package. I haven't gotten a delivery in 4 months. How can I say amen? Because when you say amen, that means you stand right there. I agree with what was just said. She said, how can I say amen to this little Ruth's, this little orphan's prayer that God could, would you send a water bottle and a doll for the 2-year-old? How can I say amen? How can I back that up? But she swallowed hard and she said, amen. And she didn't know what she was going to do, but she had to go back and train some training and give the nurses. Well, so she was at this next class, there was a message came, and she said that there was a car there. And so she went, and the car was certainly enough, as miraculous as it seems, a package, 22 pounds. And her heart was by this point in her throat. And she said, I'm not believing this. And so she thought, I've got to tell the orphans. And so before long, she had 30 sets of eyes looking in her at this package that she was going to open up. And so she looked in there, and there was some little jerseys, little bright knitted jerseys some ladies had made, some bandages, some dried goods, a couple of things like that. And sure enough, she said, I couldn't believe it. She said, God did put in that package a brand new water bottle with the lid, and they could put heated water in there. And she said by that point, the little Ruth that prayed could not stand herself anymore. She went through the crowd that was looking around there, and she said, if God put a water bottle in there, he had to put a doll in here. And Helen gave testimony at Thomas Road and said, and God did. He said, before we got to the bottom of that package, that box, that parcel, there was that water bottle, there was a lot of other things, but there was a little doll that she let Ruth take to that 2-year-old sister. And she said, that's miraculous enough. But she said, as she had already given the testimony, she said, it had been 4 months since I had received anything from outside. And she said, that package, when she later contacted the church, was sent 5 months prior to it arriving at their little village. My friends, we serve a miraculous God. You say, isn't that a coincidence? You can believe coincidence if you want. But she said, who sends a water bottle to somebody on the equator? Who sends something to keep things warm? And I'm saying this morning that we may not see the miracles as people being healed of diseases, although we do see people that happen, that happens. We may not see it in broad or in glorious fashion like it was on display here when the Son of God was literally walking the earth, but we see miracles are done. And not only did a crowd gather, but then also great miracles are done in verse number 23 and verse number 24. And then as I get down to today, our message about what all of us can do, would you look in verse number 21 and 22, we see not only will crowds gather and miracles be done, but people will commit to follow him. Verse number 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, in a ship with their father. Verse number 18, he saw the other couple of disciples there. You say, I don't see people committing to follow Jesus today. Well, I've met with a good many of them this week that their desire is to just simply live their life for Jesus Christ. I've met with many of you this week, and you've got your job, and you go serve, and you go make the money that you need to raise your family and to pay your bills and to do good things with it. But your heart is to serve Jesus Christ while he gives you breath. I would submit to you that we have some of the most wonderful servants of the Lord that are right here in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We already mentioned this morning that we're praying for the carriers as they're getting things ready and getting headed out. We're thanking God for Summer Scroggs taking that step out to say we're following on with God's will, and thanking the Lord for Victoria being here and saying we're going to take this mission trip. And not just them, there's person after person after person after person in these pews this morning that are saying, I'm committed to Jesus Christ. I want to follow him as long as he gives me breath. And my friend, I see what happens when Jesus shows up, it gets real to us. And as it gets real to us, we say that my life is not my own. I need to follow Christ. And I'm begging each and every one of us this morning, if you haven't got to that conclusion today, and you haven't got to that place where you say, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've not got to that place yet, I challenge you today to throw your hat in the ring, so to speak, to say, as a Christian, I'm not going to be nominal. As a Christian, I'm not going to be a bystander. As a believer, I'm not going to be somebody who just watches others. I'm going to be somebody who's a faithful, committed follower to Jesus Christ. All of us familiar with the Salvation Army, and I use it quite often. So many wonderful truths about it. William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, was dictating a letter to his secretary to send somewhere. And he said to his secretary, we're a volunteer army. And then went on. His son stepped in, Branford stepped in and said, wait a minute, Dad. I'm not a volunteer. I'm a regular serviceman. And so that's where the name was born. Booth turned to his secretary and said, would you scratch out volunteer, and would you make it that we're a Salvation Army? People have given their lives to put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they only do that when they're committed followers. Now, I'd love to see all of us just say, we're going to say goodbye to all our finances and just go forward on the mission field, but all of us aren't supposed to do that. But can I tell you what all of us are supposed to do? All of us are supposed to take this salvation that we've gotten and let it so impact our lives that we would be labeled as a committed follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at so many right now that if I had to give an assessment of your life, I would say they are committed followers of their Lord. And I applaud our church because I believe we've got people with a desire to say, I'm in it thick, thin, live fat, die skinny, whatever happens, I'm serving the Lord. Today, I believe we are seeing great things happen. I believe that this church right here is a miracle of God's goodness. I believe that our, I don't like to pat ourselves on the back, because you start patting yourself on the back too hard, then you get proud. But I believe that the way God has moved on this crowd, and many that aren't in this crowd right now this morning, that He's moved on this crowd to get behind missions. And the numbers, which I don't need to give today, I don't remember exactly, but it's just off the charts for a church like this. I believe that's testimony to the fact that we've got people who are serious about what they claim they believe. You get a person to say, "I support that," that's something. But you get a person to reach back and get their billfold, and they say, "I support that," ooh, that's really something. And I believe that when Jesus shows up, as we worked our way back through this passage, I believe in verse 25, a crowd will gather. Well, I believe there's Bible-believing churches all across this land and world where a crowd has gathered. And that crowd may be 25 this morning at that little church that you passed. Or it may be 1,000, or it may be this one. But I believe when Jesus shows up, a crowd will gather. Now, I know from there we can't just stop, because there'll also be crowds gathered at ball games in different places. But we got to watch me the rest of the way. Not only will a crowd gather, but miracles will be done. You want to see if something's a work of the Lord? Just watch it for a long time. And then I believe also that there will be people that are committed to following Him. I want to see Him do more miracles in this day. Last week we were so blessed that because of the efforts of a few folks and the bus ministry of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, two people called upon Christ to be their Savior last Sunday. Miracles are happening. People are taking God up on the challenge to live for Him and then let Him do for them. I believe He's in the miracle working business today. I believe crowd is gathering, and I'm asking all of us, if you have not yet done so, and many of you have, that today, in this invitation time, you would commit your life. You don't have to come and make a show of it. You don't have to get a banner over your name, but you can right there in your seat say, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me." I'm challenging you. If you're saved by the good grace of God, and you've never had a time in your life where you say, "Not only am I saved, but I'm going to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ." You say, "What does that even mean, preacher?" Well, that means you're going to get in this book and let this book get in you and give your life for His glory. Does that mean I have to sell out lock, stock, and barrel? Do you mean you think that God wants my money? He wants more than your money, honey. He wants all of you. Do you think that means that I'm going to have to quit my job and go to a foreign field? Well, it means that you get to a place, if that's what God wants, you don't care. You're willing. Chances are it won't be what you're supposed to do. But you ought to throw those chances out the window and say, "God, if that's what you want, I'm with you." This morning, it's a wonderful thing when Jesus shows up. And all I'm asking us to do is realize that He's shown up in your life. If you're a Christian, would you commit to Him today? I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm not going to be an observer. I'm going to be a participator. Up until now, I've watched other people serve the Lord. But now I'm going to find a way this week to serve Him myself. I'm going to get some of those tracts you talk about. I'm going to take opportunity to invite somebody to church personally. There are some folks today that you haven't gotten the courage up to personally invite somebody to come to church with you. That'd be a great place to start. Find somebody, ask the Lord, "God, give me somebody I can invite to church with me." That'd be a wonderful place to start your commitment to the Lord. Whatever God moves upon your heart, I trust that you would do. Perhaps you're here And you say, Brother John, I'm not even saved. I feel something inside of me that's nudging me to do something. Can I tell you what that is? That's the Lord getting your attention, compelling you to come to Christ as your personal Savior. And if that's you today, I trust that you would do business with the Lord, and we stand together in just a moment, that you would step out of your seat and come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you bow your heads together with me as we pray today and ask the Lord's blessings upon this? I thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with me. A little different message, but one that I thank you for listening to. I'd like for all of us to go home in just a few moments, having spent time making holy commitments to the Lord. Don't make them to me. Don't make them to each other. You can tell one another about it. But I trust that every believer in this room has been challenged to take their walk of faith up a notch or two. And I trust if you're here and you're not saved, that you'd be saved today. As you sit there and the ladies begin to play, I already gave the invitation. In just a moment we'll stand, but this will be, give the recap of it. If you're here and you're saved, ask yourself the question, are you a serious follower of Christ? Or are you saved, yet so as by fire, as the Bible mentions? I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but I really haven't been that dedicated follower of Christ. Folks, now's the time. Look around your life and see all the things that He's done. Look at all the goodnesses that He's just bestowed upon you. And see if that doesn't warrant you taking a more serious approach to your walk of faith. And then if you're here and you're not saved, oh, thank the Lord for the ones who were saved last week. But if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you're not on your way to heaven, you don't know that for certain, when we stand in just a moment, would you make your way to the nearest aisle and just come down this way? Let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. If you have some other spiritual need, maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. In just a moment we stand, I'm going to ask you to come and present yourself for membership down here at the altar. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never been baptized. That first step of obedience you haven't taken for one reason or another. You'd like to come present yourself for that, and we'll do it real soon. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you do business with God? At this time, would you stand together with me as they continue to play and make it easier for folks to get out? This altar is open, whatever you'd like to do. You say, do I need to come down there? You don't need to, but if God nudges you to, I wouldn't do anything but that. How about it, Christian? There in your seat, you can pray right there to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to take that next step. I don't want to just be ordinary. I want to be, if you'd let me, be extraordinary. I want to be a committed follower of yours. I invite you, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure of that. Father, thank you for this time. Bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look this way? What a joy to be back in church today. Thank you for being here. And I trust that the Lord has done a great, great work in your heart. If you're a guest with us today, you're visiting for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, you'll notice when you leave there's a guest services counter out there. Would you stop by and just give that guest card that was on the side of your bulletin with as much information as you're comfortable? There'll be somebody there that has a gift for you just for being our guest. We want to thank you for being here. But we also want to mention Miss Rachel Jarrett is here, and she had come desiring membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. She's saved and been baptized, got baptized here. But she liked to be a member, her and her son. And you remember her and her son got baptized together. But we are looking forward to that. You rejoice. I know we rejoice with that. We need a motion to receive her into membership, Brother Marty Scroggs, and a second, Brother Scott Martin. All in favor, say amen. Amen. And Miss Rachel has been a blessing, and we thank God for her. She's been out for a little while because of sickness, but we're thankful she's back today, and we're thankful, Lord, for somebody joining our church. And she'd already come down to the altar and shared that information with us at a prior service, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for being in church. Brother Stephen, Carrie, would you mind coming to dismiss us in prayer? And I want you to make sure that you keep this face in mind. Yeah, aren't they all blessed, Les, to get to keep this face in mind? Look at that beautiful thing. And but he's going to pray for us and dismiss us in God's grace. I'm going to slip back to the back and be glad to greet some of you. But I want you to seriously keep this face in mind. Keep him in prayer. Keep the Lord. Keep him before the Lord, that God would just hasten their trip, and but they would use him in a mighty way. So you pray for us, please.
Let's pray. Father, I come to you and I just thank you for, Lord, the message we heard today. And really, Lord, just how you have truly blessed our church and what just down through the years, what we've seen you do, Lord. But I pray that as we keep going forward, we'll see you do more and more through Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, I pray you go with us this day. Bring us back tonight, and I pray you'd use this service greatly in our lives tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen.